from the ashes. Up from the ashes, your love has brought us out of the darkness and into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts. One more time, up from the ashes. Up from the ashes, your love has brought us out of the darkness and into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Chains have been broken. Chains have been broken. Eyes have been opened. An army of rivals is starting to rise. Death is defeated. We are victorious, for you are alive. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah. Hallelujah, we'll make his praise glorious, 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 for his name is glorious, glorious, glorious. Make his praise more glorious, glorious, glorious. And we shout his name so glorious, oh glorious, glorious. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah. falling on my knees. Falling on my knees, is it worth it? Giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is your. God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In your presence, at your throne, and I call. And I call. You answer. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In your presence, at your throne, see, I call, you answer. Struggling, whenever we were down, Lord God, we called to you and you were always there for us, Jesus. We thank you that regardless of our circumstances, regardless of where we're at in our walk with you, Lord God, you're still there, you're still willing to be there all the time, Lord God, for us, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for just letting us talk with you and letting us receive what you want for us, God. We open our hearts, we open our minds, our ears to you. Tonight, God, we want to learn. God, we want to understand the beauty of who you are, Lord God, because there is so much beauty. There is so much that we don't know about. And Lord God, we open our hearts once again to you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Munkayos are here. Hello. Missed you guys. All right. So are you guys ready? Good. Okay. So last week, I thought we were almost done with chapter 3, but obviously we're not, but hopefully we'll be done today. But just to refresh your mind, last week we talked about Haman's description of God's people. And he was trying to describe them in very much in a very dismissive way, just trying to belittle them. He's describing them to the king that they are dispersed or scattered everywhere. They don't obey your rules. They don't listen to what you say. They don't have the same traditions and customs and all of that. And he's trying to make every excuse and to give every reason for the king to eliminate or annihilate God's people. But at the end of the meeting, we went through 1 Peter verse 2, when God's vision of us, what God really says about us, because we're going to hear the negative things all the time. We're going to hear things about how we look. We're going to hear things about our jobs. We're going to hear things about who we are in the enemy's eyes, in the world's eyes. But in God's eyes, this is what we are. We are chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's special possession. That's who we are. And our job, our mission here is to declare his praises. We're not just a spoiled holy nation, you know, all of that great stuff, just spoiled. No, we have a mission. God made us special. God chose us. God anointed us as priests, as his priest, not just to sit back and relax, but we are here on one of and the most amazing and most honorable mission that anyone can be involved on. That mission is to declare praises, to praise God, to glorify God, to speak about God, and to speak about what he's done in our life. The God who took us from the kingdom of the darkness into his light. We were about to move on to chapter 4, but to be honest with you, I couldn't, and when I shared with my brothers here about what we were thinking, no one was able to move on because there is more to talk about. So we learned about the enemy. Who is Haman? Haman is an enemy from generation to generation. It wasn't just a first time thing. His ancestors, all of them, all of his family line were always against God's people. We learned what he thinks of us. We learned about the persistency that day after day people were talking to Mordecai. Today, we're going to talk about the enemy's plan. The plan of Mordecai, the plan of Haman himself. When I was reading these verses, and if you want to read it, and it's from verse 12 to verse 15, you will see how organized, how thorough he was to achieve his plan. I read this a couple of times. He did not leave anything to chance. When you read these verses, you will see that he starts with the language. We're going to write this in every language so no one will ever miss it. We're going to put this in the kingdom's letter, sealed by the king's stamp. So everyone would know that this is coming directly from the king, even though it was Haman's thoughts, it was Haman's orders, but he made sure that to put it in a frame where it's to everyone, it's coming from the king. He made sure that every governor, every state official, everyone who has authority would receive that letter. All of these things are very significant in our life, because this is what the enemy is doing. While you and I sometimes are relaxing, thinking, oh, God is good, God is great. Yes, God is good and God is great, but we have work to do. We have war that's coming against us. Whether we take that war or not, the war is coming to us. So it would be much better if we know the enemy's plan, and you will hear later from James and Pastor Mike and Philip about all of that, but the enemy is so organized. Honestly, I kept reading this, and I kept like thinking, I'm trying to find the loophole. I'm trying to find how can I escape this? Like if I put myself in this place, how can I escape this? And honestly, there is no way you can escape this, because his plan was so perfect to achieve what he wants. So I'm going to start with the first verse. It was written in everyone's language, so no one would have an excuse. And let me tell you this. When the enemy wants to communicate something to you, he will find a way to communicate it. When the enemy wants to communicate fear in your life, fear in your heart, when the enemy wants to communicate no hope or hopelessness in your life, he will find a way to communicate it. He is not short of ways. Whether he's going to use finances, whether he's going to use health, whether he's going to use family, he is going to find a way where he delivers his message to you. This morning, Philip reminded me of a story in 2 Kings chapter 18, the story of a king called Sanherib, okay? This king, an Assyrian king, sent his generals to King Ezekiel, right? To threaten him and say, I need you to give me everything you have. I need you to give me all the gold. And then they gave him stuff. And then later on, he wanted more and more. And he wanted to go and pick himself. So he sends his generals, and generals go there, and they start speaking to, you know, at the walls in the beginning of the city, like in front of everyone, they started speaking in Hebrew. So the Israeli generals ask them, could you please speak in Aramaic? Because we can understand Aramaic. And he was like, oh no, did you think we're just coming here for you and for your king to hear this? We want everyone to hear what we have to say. And this is what the enemy wants to do. The enemy always wants us to hear what he has to say. The enemy wants us to hear about the disasters that are happening around us. The enemy wants us to hear about the failed churches. The enemy wants us to hear about the failed marriages. The enemy wants us to hear about the failed parenting and the failed children. The enemy wants us to hear and look and see that there is no hope and there is no way out of us. He wants to deliver his lies and his messages to us day after day, minute after minute. He wants us to believe that there is no way out. And his best and his first way to do it is through words coming to you and coming to me. But if you read in Psalm 45, one of my favorite verses that talks about the king that we worship, it says that his lips have been anointed with grace. We hear so much junk from around us. What do we say to each other? What do we say about God? What do we say about situations? Are we posting stuff that lift people up? Or are we lifting stuff that confirm what the enemy is saying? Are we sharing all the disasters that are happening in the world with such a broken heart and broken spirit to pray for people, to pray with people, or in submission to the enemy thinking that he already won? Are our lips full and anointed with grace? Because the enemy's lips are sure not. And the enemy's lips are not going to stop talking. He is not going to stop talking. He sends the message to everyone in their language. There is no way out. You cannot tell me you did not understand. You cannot tell me you didn't get it. And take any situation in your life or my life and think how many times when you tried to fight it and the enemy came in a different way. The enemy came, took a different route to try to deliver that message to. What do we do when we hear these messages? We talked about a couple of weeks ago about, you know, what Ezekiel did. He took and, you know, he took these messages and spread them before God. Or we can hear simply to what our Lord and Savior said once that very much just solved all of our problems. He said, do not be afraid, just believe. The messages are coming. The messages from the evil one are coming. Do not be afraid, just believe. So that's for the messages that he sent to everyone. And then we see that Haman was behind the order. He was ready to fight. And he was ready. He was moved by hate. He was moved by by one goal and one goal only, and that's to destroy everyone. And for that, I'll go to Pastor Mike.
Amen. So, as he was sharing, as we've been talking, there was an order, and the order was to kill all the Jews, right? As we know the story already. So the order was to kill the Jews. So Haman, as he shared, was behind this order, right? He was the one behind this plan. It was Haman, and it's very important. I'll explain why. Haman and his hatred were behind this plan to kill the Jews. And we know why. Mordecai didn't bow down to him. And we know that part already. So he didn't want to just kill Mordecai. He wanted to annihilate all the Jews. So this plan came out. And as we know, he was behind this plan. Him and his hatred, it was what was driving this plan. And we know in our lives that Satan is the one behind the plan, as we've talked about before, and as we know, to kill, steal, and destroy our lives, our future, our families, everything, right? Everything that God has for us, the plan of God, he is the one behind the plan to destroy it and to stop. Whatever he can do, whatever he can set out to accomplish, to stop us, to discourage us, to make us turn around, stop, and stop moving forward, he's going to try to do it. And I want to read to you out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And a lot of us know that it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. So it shows us what we're wrestling against. And it's a daily fight, right? Every day we put on the armor, right? That's why it tells us to put on the armor. And it talks about the wiles, right? The wiles of the enemy. And wiles means it's a devious strategy to manipulate somebody, right? That's a short definition. So it's strategies and plans and orders to try to manipulate you, to try to persuade you to stop believing, to not trust in the Lord. Whatever he can do to, like I said, to stop the plan of God, this is what the devil wants to do. This is what Satan wants to do. Haman wanted to utterly destroy the Jews. And in the same way, Satan wants to destroy as many Christians, as many believers. He wants to stop, right? He knows his future. He knows it's defeat. He knows it's not good, right? So he's going to try to take as many as he can down with him, right? So he's going to try to stop us. So in our lives, we need to understand that the person, or not in person, the thing behind this plan is Satan, right? So it says we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers. And we got to remember that there's a demonic host and, you know, the fallen angels and all these things. But bottom line, we, you know, without getting into all that, bottom line is that behind all this is Satan, right? 1 John 5:9 says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But we believe in God, right? And he's trying to sway, and the devil's trying to sway, and the devil's using the wiles, and he's trying to manipulate, and he's trying to do what he can to destroy, to kill, to stop the move of God, to stop the children of God from receiving their inheritance, from receiving this awesome promise that we have, which is eternal life and glory with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? This is an awesome plan that he has for us. And he's trying to stop this. So there's an order out, just as there was an order out back then, there's an order out now, right? Just as the psalm said, the words are going to come out, the messages are out, they're out right now, and the battles are going on right now, right? You may not feel it, whatever the case may be, but we go through stuff every day, and every day there's fiery darts shot our way. Every day there's things that want to hit us, make us stumble. That's why we have to put on the whole armor of God, right? We trust in the Lord. And we got to remember that, as I said earlier, that Haman and his hatred is what drove this, right? Haman's hatred is what drove this, but he needed something. right? He needed another piece for this plan to go forth, and he needed authority. As the Psalm shared with us this morning, he needed authority. He needed power, right? He needed those one missing piece for this plan to go into effect. So it was driven by hate, but he needed one thing so it could go forth, and that was authority, right? So as we know, he went with the king, and they drank at the end, and the plan went forth, and it went to everybody throughout the nation. But he needed, and it was driven by hatred, just in the same way that hate and the hate for Jesus and this and the Roman authority combined is what led to the crucifixion, yeah, to the death of Christ, right? It was hatred and the power combined is not a good mixture, as we see now, right? When things are led by hatred, if you have authority, I mean, we're in a mess right now in this nation because of that, but I won't get into that. But we see that Haman, you try to use this authority and his hatred to drive that. Now, later on, we're going to see that the Lord comes through. You know, we talked about how they don't speak about God, but we see the hand of God moving. And we see that Esther, that the king, obviously he has authority, but he has love for Esther, right? And it's the king's authority and this love he has for Esther that causes for the redemption of the Jews.
Amen.
So this authority combined with love is what brought forth life. Just like hatred and this power and this authority brought forth death, right? It's the love and the power combined together that brought forth life, right? And it's the same love that God has for us and the authority that God has that brought forth life in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So just as hatred and power brought forth the crucifixion, it's love and power an authority that brought forth life and the resurrection, right? But here's some good news and something we need to see in the story of Haman, that even though he had this hatred and even though he wanted to annihilate the Jews, he couldn't do it on his own. He needed permission, right? He couldn't just act and then just say, okay, let's go and wipe out all the Jews. He had to go to the king and receive that authority. So he needed permission. Colossians 2:15 says that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When it talks about Jesus at the cross, right, that he nailed sin to the cross, and it says he made a spectacle of the enemy, right? But the key thing here is that he disarmed. Now, what did he disarm? What was the weapon? The weapon was the sins of the world, right? Our sins. Right, that was what he had against the world. And Jesus came and he says, I have made a way where there was no way before. Right, so he made a spectacle. He disarmed them of that they had, that power, that authority that they had over us. Right, and he took it away because now we have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. We have been bought by his blood. So he disarmed them. So he needs the enemy, even though he plans. Now he tries, there's wiles, as I said, the word was wiles, and there's by swaying of the world, right? So he's trying, he's using deception, he's using whatever he can do, right? The principalities, almost as if they're looking like, what opening do you give me so that we may enter in and use against you, to use to stop you? And understand that the weapons that the enemy has right now against us, if they have any, is because we have allowed that in our lives, right? We have allowed that. And the only thing we may go back is go back to the cross, nail it to the cross, ask for forgiveness, and Jesus sets us free. And the authority of Jesus Christ stops that work. Just like he stopped it there and he disarmed the enemy, he has done it now. So understand that he needs permission. Haman needed permission. Satan needed permission when he afflicted Job, as we know the story, right? He couldn't do it on his own. He tries. He's going to try to be deceptive in our life. That's why it's a daily battle. That's why we wrestle daily, right? We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord, right? I read somewhere where it says that before we wrestle with these principalities, we need to wrestle with the Lord, right? Wrestle with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord first, that we may be able to wrestle right? With our daily fight, daily things that we got to put on the armor of God. So understand, and I'll leave you with this, and remind you with this, that he has no authority over us, right? He needed permission, right? So we must do our best daily to not give him that weapon, not give him that permission, so that this plan goes forth. God bless you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. So as Pastor Mike said, when you combine love and power, great things happen. So why don't we try that? Why don't we try that in our life? Why don't we try that with our children, with our wives, with our husbands, with our neighbors, with our coworkers? Why don't we try that? Why don't we try the love of God that He has for them, the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us? Why don't we try that? Because there is no in between. The other option will be death. The other option will be the hatred of the enemy with the power of the enemy. There isn't in between option for us. So why don't we try that and speak some life into people and just be confident and trust that the enemy cannot do anything without permission. So they take this, he writes this, and he makes sure to send it to who? Not to the Israeli people. He doesn't send it to, Mordecai. No, he sends it to the governors, to the nobles, to everyone who is in authority. And let me tell you something. The first people are usually being attacked. The people that are being tested are people in authority. So please, please, please join me and pray for our pastor. Pray for our leadership. Pray for Pastor Mike, for Philip, for all the people that are in authority. Pray for our governor. Pray for our president. Pray for our police officers, our firefighters. Pray, because these people are being attacked. We just all saw 3 weeks ago, when I was just seeing the country literally burning down, I kept thinking, I just want to ask that officer one question. Did he think that this is all going to happen because of his mistake? All the souls that are lost, all the businesses that shut down, all that is happening because of one person did not act in wisdom. And I'm not judging anyone, because I need God's help, and I need God's wisdom more than anyone. But I'm telling you that the people who are in authority are being attacked. As Pastor Albert shared with us a couple of weeks ago, Paul is telling Timothy, pray for those who are in authority. Pray for them so you can have a peaceful and quiet life. Pray for them. Instead of judging and saying, oh, I could have done better, and instead of saying that, oh, they don't know what they're doing, pray for them, because they are receiving the first orders. The first commands are going after them to affect your life and to affect my life. And I'm not just talking about governments, and I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about ministers. I'm talking about people that we hold in high authority. They are the first one to receive the message. They are the first one the enemy is trying to mess with. Then they dispatch. Then Haman and the king, they dispatch. And trust me, our enemy has no shortage of dispatches. He has no shortage of messengers. Unfortunately, you know who has shortage in messengers? Us. Us. And that's what the Lord Jesus himself said. He said that what? The harvest is plenty. We just need workers. We need people to go and work. We need people to go and deliver the message. We need people to go tell someone that their life has value. We need to go deliver the message and say, no, we speak life over you. We speak blessings over you. We speak blessings over your business, over your family, over your children, over your life. We need to dispatch our own soldiers to go to tell people and speak life over them. They dispatch everyone, and the message is very simple. It's very simple, but it includes everything. It says, destroy them, kill them, annihilate all the Jews, and take their goods. It reminds me of the same, almost the same exact words in John 10:10, when our Lord and Savior Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, taking your stuff, kill, taking your life and just destroy everything that you care about, everything you love, everything that you have, everything that has a meaning to you. That's what the enemy is after. And the same enemy was after from day one. Send the message in every language. Send the message to everyone. Send the message for everyone who's in authority that they have to obey it. Send the message that's sealed by the kingdom. Send and make the plan. Make sure that everything is going to work. And then what do? Haman and the king. They kick back and start drinking. While the city is frustrated, while the city is on unrest, while the city is scared, while the city is having trouble because of these letters, Haman and the king are drinking and having a good time. When we go through hard time, let us run to our Father first. Let us run to our God first, because no one will care about us as much as God cares about us. As much as we are going to pray for our kings and for our governors and for the police, for everyone, we're going to pray for them and believe for them and for that, for their families and for their lives. But let me tell you, no one will feel what you feel other than God. No one will know the stress that you're going through more than God. No one will know the stress that I'm going through more than God. And no one has the solution and the answer other than God. And most likely he already planned it. He's just waiting for you to talk to him so he can reveal it to you. God has the answer already. So this was in a very brief summary, the Haman and the king's plan. We'll go to James right now to talk to us a little bit more about the plan, and then Philip will end for us.
The plan that Satan has, just like Assam said, it's very powerful, it's very detailed, there's a lot to it, but at the same time, it's not a surprise, or it shouldn't be a surprise. It should never catch us off guard. And the reason is, as you can see from the story, from the time that the decree was made, you guys can see Selah and Ezra back here. From the time the decree was made to the time that they were planning to execute it, there was 11 months. 11 months in between. Why did that happen? How did that happen? Haman wanted to kill them as soon as possible, didn't he? Like, how did it even come to pass that there would be an 11-month gap between when he first comes up with this plan and when it gets executed? It said they cast lots to determine the time, right? Like that, even the enemy, just like Mike said, he doesn't have the authority. He needs to get it. He needs to be allowed to do whatever he's going to do. And so God, even though he allows the enemy to operate, he doesn't allow him to operate secretly. He tells all of his children, he warns everybody, hey, this is what the enemy's doing. This is what he's trying to do. Like throughout the Bible, he tells us all about the thief. He tells us all about the enemy, that Satan, what he does to us, what he does against us, and how he tries. And he tells us his tactics. And there's so much in his word about what the enemy tries to do to us. And if we're ever caught off guard, then we have no one to blame but ourselves. Because God has made it clear what the enemy is trying to do. So even though he's powerful, even though he's got a really detailed plan against us, we should also have a powerful and detailed plan against his, right? Because at the end of the story, they don't annul the enemy's plan. They never say, okay, let's retract what the enemy's going to try to do. They don't do that. All they do is execute their own plan against the enemy. So that's what God has equipped us for. He says, look, I'm going to allow the enemy to do this, but I'm also going to tell you in advance so that you will be ready. You will be equipped with what I give to you. So don't be caught off guard. Read my word and listen to what I tell you about what the enemy is doing so that you're not caught off guard. You can enact my plan, the plan that I have for you, against the enemy, and you will come out on top.
Amen. So God gives us the plan, and God tells us that we're gonna go through troubles and tribulations, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're gonna have victory. So should we be scared of the plan, or should we just be prepared for the plan?
Yeah.
Prepared for the plan. All right, we'll go on to Philip.
Sorry, I was going to give the example, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, because in Acts chapter 9, I guess I should have done this all at once. At the end, we all know Acts chapter 9 because that's where Saul was converted. But at the end of the chapter, there's another story about Peter and a girl named Tabitha, who at that time got sick and died. It tells us that she was full of good works, full of charitable deeds that she did, but still she ended up getting sick and dying. So they called Peter to come and wanted him to see what he could do to bring her back. And when he came, they all surrounded him and said, "Hey, look at these things that she made for us. Look at the clothes that she made. Look at the good things that she did for us." And it doesn't say any response from Peter except that he put them all out. He put them all outside. They came to show him the good works, and he just put them all outside. Then he knelt down and prayed. And this is at the end of Acts chapter 9, the last few verses. He knelt down and prayed, and then it says something very specific. It says, Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." So when he was praying, he wasn't even looking at the body. When he was praying to God only. He wasn't looking at the situation. He wasn't looking at the enemy. He wasn't looking at the trial that was in front of him. He prayed to God alone, and then he turned to the trial. He turned to the trouble and spoke with authority over it, because he had just finished praying to God alone, not praying to the trial, not praying against the trial, not even facing the trial. He was praying facing God, and then he was able to face the trial with authority. Just as we said before, that authority comes from God. And so when we're praying, our focus is not meant to be on the trial. The prayer is to God alone, and he's the one who gives us authority to then turn to the trial and speak with authority, face it with authority.
Amen. Well, this is very much exactly what happened with Peter. He stepped out of the boat and he started walking on water. And the moment he took his eyes away from God and turned to the waves and saw how huge and how horrible the waves are, then he started sinking, you know. So what James is saying is, yes, we're gonna have battles, but instead of focusing on the battles, let's focus on God and let God's victory take us through this. All right, we'll move on to Philip, and then we'll have a few minutes to pray and to ask questions if we have any.
Hi, Habibis. So, since I read the last part of chapter 3, I was thinking about a lot of what happened in Sudan. And two days ago, me and Rola, we were remembering a lot of stuff. One of the things that we remembered, I'm going to share a picture with you so you understand what I'm talking about. So one of the teams that we send to a place called Nuba Mountains, they were coming back from an outreach to a village, and they were showing Jesus movie, and they were all riding a truck. It's called Dafar. It's like they were almost like 35 people. And the truck looks like this. I'm gonna share. I'm not gonna share the video. Can you see that truck? Okay. Can you see it? Yes.
Yeah. We can see it.
Okay. So this is what we use. This is the March for Jesus. We use it to go and do march in the streets. But the outreach we're using almost, I'm not sure if this is the same truck or like another truck, because our church had two of them. I cannot tell because the bullets are on the side and in front. So the bullets, the holes. Anyway, I didn't share that. one of the outreaches, they were coming from showing a Jesus movie. And as they were driving back home, they noticed that there was a tree blocking the road. So the driver, I just wanted to show you this picture so you understand. People were sitting inside the truck and on the top, like this guy that I'm showing. Okay, so I want to stop sharing. So they were coming back and they noticed the tree on the road, and immediately the driver thought something wrong. I shouldn't stop. And when he decided that, he went off the road to around the tree, and he drove fast as much as he can. It's dirt road, so as much as he can. And suddenly, they opened fire on them, like a machine gun. And the first thing they wanted to kill the driver. So the first bullet, it went through the windshield. I've seen the truck when it came back to Khartoum. The bullet went like this to the driver. So it's like the first bullet went like this to the driver. They wanted to kill the driver because they know if we kill the driver, the truck will stop and we will kill them all. So they did that, but thank God they missed it. They missed the driver, but sadly, they started to shoot randomly. Just shoot everyone. They shoot one of the guys who were sitting on the top in the head. He fell immediately. Fell into the road. And the other guy was sitting there. He got a bullet in his leg, went from one side, went for other side. And then they started to shoot the people inside the truck. They killed that night, they killed five people, one Egyptian guy and four Sudanese. And it was very hard. It was very hard for all of us when we heard. We were for sure devastated and troubled, confused, and what's happening? But one of the things that happened when this Egyptian guy, he didn't die immediately. They took him to the hospital, and for sure they couldn't treat him. And the last thing he said, "I want you to tell my father I died serving Christ." For me, this is a message. This is a message that this man, he put his life to serve Christ, to serve Jesus Christ, you know? And they came back to Khartoum. One of my friends, they sent them a plane to bring them to Khartoum, because the distance is so far, like 37 hours, and there were a lot of people injured, and we needed to treat them in Khartoum. So they came back and they stayed with us, and we were sharing, me and Rola, the blood smell. It was full of, the house was full of blood. I'm so sorry that it's almost 8, and I'm sharing this wonderful story. Blood and killing and dying and stuff. Why I'm sharing this? Because it's happening. It's happening until now, until today. Today, I hear about people in Nigeria were killed for Jesus. They were converted to Christianity and they were killed. Today, not 7 years ago when I was in Sudan. No, today it's happening. So the enemy has a plan And it's not changed. It's the same to steal and to destroy and to kill. And thank God that we know the end of the story. You cannot read chapter 3 without reading chapter 8. Chapter 8 in Esther tells us about what happened. What happened in that they, Esther and Mordechai and all the people prayed, fasted 3 days, and God answered their prayer. And in chapter 8, it's a wonderful picture of authority. We're talking about authority combined with power and love, or authority with hate. Here, chapter 8 says that the king took the ring that gave Haman, yeah, when Haman made his plan, you know, he said, I need authority. Give me authority. So the king gave him the ring, and he said, go kill the Jews. And after they prayed and everything, the king took the ring back and gave it to who? Gave it to Mordechai. Gave the ring, the same ring, the same authority. And this is a wonderful picture. You cannot see this. You cannot avoid seeing the same picture of Adam and Eve giving their authority that was they received from God to Satan when they believed Satan. Yeah. And the same thing happened 2,000 years later when Jesus defeated, hallelujah, say hallelujah. When Jesus defeated the enemy, he did what? He took the ring back from Satan. He took the authority of death from Satan. And guess what? Who gave it to him? Who gave it to each one of us? Say amen. He gave us the authority again to defeat the plans of the enemy. He said, you know what? This enemy had authority to kill you and destroy you. But now I took his authority back on the cross, and I'm giving it you back to be what? To be chosen generation, royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Here's your ring. Use it. Use it. You have authority, but not only authority, you have love. I saw Mike. When authority combined with love brings what? Brings life. Brings life. Authority with hate brings death and destruction. But guess what? Each one of us have the authority of Christ because we were given back to our authority and we were filled with love. Not only that, but Esther, after the king gave back the ring to Mordechai, Esther said something beautiful. Went to the king again and said, would you allow me to go again? Yes, he invited her back. And she said, well, there was a command that letters was sent to every royal and every, you know, county, every village to destroy the Jews. I want you to write a new letter, say amen, write a new letter of life. Amen. To cancel the curse, to cancel the sickness, to cancel the poverty, to cancel the confusion, to cancel being lost, to cancel the curse on my life. Would you do this to me? The king said, yes, this is your new letters. Authority, love, and restoration. This is what we see here. This is what we see. This is not the end. This is not the end. The end is that God gave us the authority to cancel the curse. When I think about my family, I do search. I do a spiritual map to my family, you know. What was happening to my father? What was happening to my grandfather, my mother, my brothers and sisters? I need to know, because I have the authority now to cancel, to write a new letters, to to write a new commands of love. Say amen. Commands of love over your daughters, over your children, your wife, your husband, new commands that God is writing. So the plan of the enemy, we know it, even if it's scary, but we know that we have the authority. Say amen. We have the authority to speak life, to speak new letters, to speak life over our family, church, community, country, streets. Instead of killing, I speak life in the name of Jesus. Now, right now, I speak life in the name of Jesus. We speak peace. We speak love. Authority, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for the president to be filled with the love of Christ. Not politically, not to show off, not anything, but to bring life to the community. Because he has the authority. I pray for leaders in the name of Jesus. I pray for pastors. I pray for everyone to have the authority, but to have the love in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So usually we give time to take questions, but because we're running out of time, and I really do think we need to pray together. And pray for your family. Pray for someone you know. Pray, as Philip shared right now, for new words, for new future. Pray for just release life. Release Amen. Life over your family, over your future, over your cousins, over your neighbors. Just whoever comes to mind, just go ahead and start praying. And we'll have about a few more minutes, and then we can, you know, end the meeting. But I think it will be good, because everyone will agree with you here. If you release forgiveness, we're all going to agree with you. If you release Amen. Blessings, we're all going to agree with you. If you release safety and peace and joy, whatever it is, we're all going to agree with you.
Amen.
Don't be scared. It doesn't have to be an eloquent prayer. It's just words. Release whatever God has on your heart right now.
Amen, Jesus. Can we unmute everyone? And if you have prayer, please speak it. Speak, because it can carry life. To your family, to the church, to the pastor, to the leaders, to everyone that God will put in your heart. Speak life right now. Amen.
Amen, Jesus. Okay.
Lord, I pray against every curse, I pray against every plan of the enemy. I pray cancellation of every curse on my life, my family's life, my church, in the name of Jesus. I pray blessing over this country, over this land, Lord. I pray for Sudan, for peace and redemption from all the innocent bloodshed that happened in this land, Lord. I pray for Nigeria. I pray, Lord, to bring peace and love instead of the hate. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Lord, I pray and I speak over myself and my family for complete and total surrender and commitment to you, Lord. I pray against the flesh. I pray against the enemy. I pray against all of his attacks on us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that from now on, Lord, that everything will be coming out of our hearts, our home, our business, or anything we do, Lord, will be speaking life, not just to us, but for people around us, Lord. I pray that you would use us in this, Lord, in this new street with our new neighbors, Lord, that we would bring life, that we would bring your hope to everyone we know. Lord, I agree with Philip. We pray, Lord, for a revival in our church. I pray against every work from the enemy to split us. And I pray for every work from the enemy to discourage us. I pray against every work of the enemy to make us look at the past or look at any failures that we've had in the past, Lord. But in Jesus' mighty name, we would look for the lives, and we look at the lives that are going to be saved. We look at the homes that are going to be restored. We look at the children that are going to grow, and all the warriors that are going to be rising from our rise. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus.
Father God, I lift up my family to you, Lord Jesus. I pray for their protection, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for this, all the families represented here, Lord, and we just pray in your name, Lord Jesus, for cancellation of all the negative words, Lord, negative reports. Whoever, Lord, whether it be a doctor, a friend, a family member, whatever it may be, Lord, whatever was meant to hurt, whatever was meant a bad report, whatever does not line up with your word, Lord Jesus, we pray you cancel it in your name, Lord, and we speak life.
Amen, Jesus.
We pray healing for the bodies, Lord, healing for the mind, Lord, healing for the soul. Father God, whatever hurt was there is gone in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. We cancel the plan of death, Lord, and we speak life. Father God, transfer it to life, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Amen, Jesus. And, Lord, we look at you, not to the trouble, not to the tribulation or to the temptation or the death around us. We look at you, Lord. We look at you. We look at you, Jesus. We speak to you. We enter your presence. We enter your presence that full of life, that full of resurrection, that full of restoration, that full of blessings, that full of blessings, blessings, blessings. Lord, I speak blessing over the next generations, Lord, to inherit blessings, to inherit blessings, not to inherit poverty, not to inherit debt, not to inherit racism or hatred, not to inherit anything, but to inherit blessings. In the name of Jesus, I speak over my children and their children and their children. Lord, I speak blessing in the name of Jesus. I speak blessing. I cancel every curse.
Yes.
Every curse.
In Jesus' name.
Every curse, I speak against it in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we cancel the power of Lord, the influence of COVID-19 over economy, over the health of people, over anything that affected, Lord, got affected. I speak cancellation of the curse. I speak life, Jesus. I speak life, Jesus. I pray right now, Jesus. I pray, Father, to write new letters. Right now, to write new letters. To write new commands from heaven. Commands from heaven. To cancel the curse in the name of Jesus. To bring unity, to bring healing to this nation. To the world.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.